I get a lot of questions about this particular parable. There are a lot of people in my circle of friends, and well, I don't know about friends, but acquaintances, who feel like it is their bounden duty as the slaves in this parable to go out and start plucking up weeds, or at least the people they identify as weeds. And sometimes when we do that, whenever we run for the office of God, we're always going to find one heck of an incumbent, as I like to say. Now, there is a fella up the road from me named Ray. He owns an automotive repair service that is really probably one of the best garages I have ever come across. You see, very few people in Fannin County who live there buy new cars. They keep fixing them until they simply cannot run anymore. It's a mark of pride to drive around in a rusted old jalopy in our neck of the woods. Now, the people from Florida and Tennessee and other people generally grouped together into that category of folk known as tourists, or sometimes, pardon the French, damn tourists. They've all got the new Range Rovers and all that kind of stuff. And we're even seeing Maseratis and Bentleys coming up there. It's kind of like putting a gold filling in a hog's mouth. But they don't go to Ray's. The rest of us do. Now, Ray tends to be looked down upon by the righteous flocks of Fannin County, because you see, Ray is, well, how shall we put it? He is politically and religiously incorrect. Okay? Ray uses language that a lot of people might use in public, but he uses out there in front of God and 20 surgical residents. And Ray is known to be perhaps overly fond of the grape. But this past week, when the storms came in and the trees went down and the power was out, it was Ray and every employee of his shop, about 7-8 of them, that were out there cleaning up the road. They didn't ask any questions. They didn't ask for any money. They were out there with chainsaws and ropes the size of my thigh, pulling stuff off the road. And I stopped and I said, Ray, thank you. Ray and I are on good terms together. He doesn't know what Presbyterians are, and he's pretty sure that we're all going to hell, and he says he'll be glad for the company. So Ray and I are now better buddies than we were. I do not do chainsaws. Okay, I come from a long line of live cowards. The only internal combustion engine that I use is my backpack blower, which people seem to think is appropriate for a preacher who's putting out so much hot air anyway. So, I did go and I blew the leaves and the small twigs and limbs out from behind where Ray was working, and they made me put on a hard hat. Boy, I felt so official. You don't see many preachers in a hard hat. I asked them if I could keep it. They said, no, you might get into trouble with it. So, Ray is the frequent target of the Righteousness Club of Fannin County. And they have even at times tried to boycott his business. Doesn't bother Ray. He brings in business from 6 counties around. And it really doesn't seem to make any difference at all in the number of cars which are in his parking lot waiting to be worked on. And it just drives the Christians crazy, because nothing they do is stopping Ray from making a decent living. And they think that Ray is one of those weeds in this parable that needs to be rooted out. And if you read my article this week in the Ken's Epistle, you got a flavor of what kind of mentality there is up there. If you didn't read it, shame on you. But the counsel of the wise, which sits at the Conoco and gathers to dispense wisdom and occasional judgment on everybody. All feel like Ray is a terrible person. And part of the discussion I had with them was, what are we going to do about Ray? And I said, nothing. Well, that wasn't an appropriate answer at all. We have got to do something about that man. He is a ever-present danger to our society and to the people of faith in Fannin County. I said, what do you think? Why? They said, because he uses harsh language, even in front of women and children. He drinks wine starting about 8 o'clock in the morning. And he is just a blight upon the social fabric of our community. And I said, no, he's not. Ray works on my truck. And I don't care if he's drunk or sober. He does a good job. And he gives me a ministerial discount just to keep on the good side of things. So Ray is not one of the weeds in that parable. And besides, you need to pay a little closer attention to what Jesus says. Who gets to pull the weeds out of the field? It's not the slaves, it's not you and me, it is the angels when they come. Quit trying to take job security away from the angels. I don't know if I made any sense to them or not, but you know, it's all part of a bigger picture of our common humanity. We want to lump people into specific groups. And once we can get them all corralled together, then we can start pasting labels on them as to being acceptable or unacceptable, as to being righteous or unrighteous, as to being worthy of our attention or unworthy of our consideration. We like to put people into groups, and therein lies our own downfall. Do you notice Jesus seldom put people into groups? Jesus went about the countryside. By the end of his ministry, he was including everybody in his associations. And he was meeting them not on his terms, but on theirs. Jesus called the righteous to beware of their station, because righteousness also brings a whole lot of responsibility and should bring a whole lot of humility, as Jesus showed us when he suffered the trials, the beatings, and the crucifixions. I love this passage of Jacob. Jacob falling asleep at Bethel and having his dream of the angels going up and down the ladder to heaven. That's on the front cover of your bulletin, in case I got that right this week. Yeah. I have always loved that image of God coming down to be with his people even while we are asleep in the dust, which is exactly where he was. Jacob wasn't doing anything spectacular. Jason wasn't, you know, singing the old rugged cross and going to tent revival. Jacob was just there. He was in transit. And he was tired and he was hungry and he laid down and put a rock under his head. I don't know if any of you have ever slept on a rock. I tried it once when I was a child just to imitate the Bible passage. It was a vacation Bible school assignment. I remember it to this day. This side of my head is a little further in than the other. He wasn't doing anything, and that's when God came to him and gave him this marvelous dream and said, I'm going to make a mighty nation of you. What had Jacob done to deserve that? And the answer is nothing. If you remember last week, he cheated Esau out of his birthright, and then he had to go on the lam. God sometimes does pick scoundrels to do his best work with. Maybe that's why Ray and I get along so well. Beware the righteous. And beware that small righteous angel that sometimes wants to perch on our shoulders. Because that way is not, I do not believe, that is not the way of God. God calls us to let people burst out of their groupings. God calls us to let people get rid of those labels. God calls us to meet people where they are, give them what they need, and receive from them the blessing we receive by being simply children of God. Paul gives us this passage about the waiting. All of creation waiting to be renewed. And that's where we are. Paul says all of creation is groaning like a woman in travail of birth. Everything is expectant. Everything is ready. Everything is in process. And if that is true, and if Paul's words about human nature are true, we really don't have time to be worrying about how to pluck out the weeds. We need to be about the task of maybe helping those weeds magically transform into wheat. With God, anything is possible. Let us pray. Father, you have called us to be catalysts. Catalysts of change in your world. Not to be judges or judgers, but to take life as you give it to us. And people, as you introduce them to us, and with that raw material, to be the workers of the miracles of grace. So open our eyes, our hands, and our hearts, that we, the wheat, and sometimes the weeds, may all find ways to glorify your name through Jesus our Lord. Amen.